Good morning. It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship. And yes, I have my winter throat, unfortunately. But we will struggle through this, and it may get better as I talk. But it's good to have you here as we gather for worship this day. If you are visiting, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we ask that you fill a welcome card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and again, I'm not going to read it to you, but do call your attention to it. I do want to point out something that did not get on there, but on Friday it is feeding ministry, and so we do have feeding ministry this coming Friday, so we will need cakes for that. And we will be cooking our regular menu on Friday. Next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday. And we will be dedicating our financial pledges that day, our Thanksgiving offering, as well as our in-gathering of food. And you'll note information about that we do on Thanksgiving Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We invite you to bring donations of food, of things that you would enjoy for Thanksgiving dinner to church, and we'll be donating those to housing families as they make food available for their clients who are in shelters that are in halfway houses, transitional housing between homelessness and permanent housing. That's next Sunday. We'll be doing all of that. Also, you'll note that the list for White Cross requests is still available in Judson Chapel. If you'd like to sign up and bring something in, you're invited to do that as well. So all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank our God for joy in living and patience in trouble, for rainbows after clouds and moonlight on the darkest night, for wisdom to walk the right path and peace to calm anxiety and worry. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So let our songs arise and give thanks for all God's love. Our opening hymn this morning is a Thanksgiving hymn. Give thanks, my soul, for harvest number 774 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Oh,
Let us pray. Generous God, you have given us so much, but we seek one more thing this morning, thankful hearts, because we know our hearts can be hard and cold at times. We often hold on when we should let go. We are clutching when we should be spending, hoarding when we should be generous, doubting when we should lean on faith. We are fearful instead of trusting in your everlasting care. Open our hands and our hearts to the beauty of your love, which cares for the flowers of the fields, the birds in the air, each child who toddles, every parent who worries, every adult who struggles. Loving God, you have given us so much. Give us again the assurance of your love and care, and fill us with grateful hearts and open hands. This we pray in the name of the ultimate giver, Jesus Christ. We pray now as he first taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. As we come to this time in the service, we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another and spend some moments in silent prayer and then some congregational praying as well. Some requests I'd like to share with you is we want to remember Peggy Blum. Peggy's not feeling very well today, and so she's not here. And I understand that Betty Hickey wasn't feeling very well either, I don't think. I don't think Betty's here either today. And we want to keep Jim Hickey in prayer. Jim's going to be having a procedure this week, so we want to keep Jim in prayer as he goes through that. It is good that Joan Rasteen's able to be with us. Joan hasn't been out in quite a while now and was able to be here today with her daughter-in-law, Anne Marie. So it's good that Joan's with us today. Peggy Blum has asked for prayers for her grandson, Michael, and his wife, Ashley. They are expecting their first child, who is about 14 weeks now into the pregnancy. But there are some complications, some very serious complications. And so Peggy has asked for prayers for the family and wanting to keep Michael and Ashley in prayer today. And Joe McCary has asked for prayers for his friend and his family, Philip Pizarro, who basically has been told by the doctors to go home and make his final arrangements. So we want to keep Philip in prayer today. So the Fox's granddaughter, Jen, had surgery this week, looks good. Takes time. Healing takes time. Test results take time. Decisions take time. So we want to continue to keep Jen in prayer as well. And also, obviously, we want to keep the people of Paris in prayer today in France and just that whole situation of terrorism there and keep them in prayer. Do you have any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family this morning? Liz. Great. Great. Yeah, Dave's father was in the hospital this week, not doing very well at all, quite serious, but I had heart problems, but recovered from that and is home again, so that's good. We do celebrate that, and it's a thank you to God for that. Anybody else have a prayer request? Irene? We want to keep Jackie May in prayer. Jackie and her husband, Alan. Jackie's not doing real well. She is at home, and Alan's caring for her. We want to keep Jackie and Alan May in prayer today, and we want to keep our other folks that are not able to get out as often as they would like. Some are just homebound and just okay, but just can't get out, and others just are not well at all. So we want to keep all of our shut-ins in prayer, but especially we want to remember Jackie and Alan May today. Any other requests for prayer? If not, then let's lift up some of these requests or something that's on your heart as we pray silently together. Lord God, you are all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-merciful. And as we sit in the silence of this sanctuary, for some it may be one of the few times during the week when we have such solitude and have the moments to open our hearts and our minds to you. And we thank you for the privilege we have of coming to church today to worship you. Not only because of the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, but being physically able to move about and to move here, walking here, riding here, getting into the building and being able to sit here and to spend these moments in worship with you. And we are so grateful for that. We sometimes take things for granted, Lord, until we are unable to do something that we enjoy doing. And this day, Lord, we pray for those who are not able to be here today but want to be here because of circumstance, because of physical condition. Whatever the reason, Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift those up to you who are ill today and injured and pray for your healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for the caregivers as well, O God, those who are not professionally trained, but those also who are professionally trained, who care for us when our bodies are broken, we are injured or ill. Just thank you, Lord, for this knowledge and the skill that men and women have received and earned that do care for us when we need that type of care. Lord, this day we think of those who are in sadness and sorrow, Lord, because they have lost a loved one. And we pray especially for the people in Paris today and of the terrorism going on there. And Lord, we know the feelings that we have experienced in this country, but yet the situation is different and it's never exactly the same. And we do lift them up today. We pray for those who were killed there. We pray for those who were injured as well. And we pray for those who are trying to make it a safe place. Lord, we again are reminded that we do not live in a safe world, that especially where we go about our daily business of going to the movies, going out to eat, going to a concert, going to a ball game, just going to work, doing the things that we normally do in life that are now become dangerous situations. Lord, help us not to succumb to fear. Give us the courage to continue living our lives with bravery. We pray for safety, Lord, but we know that that cannot always be. We thank you for those who are working on our behalf to keep us safe, to protect us, whether it's here in the United States or somewhere around this world, Lord. We thank you for those who have committed their lives to protecting us and helping us. Lord, we also pray for the political situation in our nation as we have another almost year to go through the election process of selecting our next national leader of president. Lord, we pray that we may have wisdom as we listen to the debates, as we read and hear what different candidates are saying, and help us to make wise decisions in the coming months, Lord, that the best person may be selected to lead our country. Lord, again, we thank you for being able to be here together today, and we lift all of these things up to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Worship can mean so many different things to different people. And we've done many parts of worship today, but now we have an opportunity of worshiping by presenting our tithes and our gifts to God. And at this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Save us, Lord, my soul.
us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace in our lives. We don't earn it, but you graciously and lovingly bestow it upon us. Lord, we pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we share the good news of your grace with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Yeah. Mark Foxon is our lay reader today and will be reading the scripture. And the scripture is responsive today, so if you haven't closed your hymnal, keep it open. If you've closed it, open it back up to selection 530.
Generosity. And now we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. They gave as much as they were able. Just as you excel in everything,
they
See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Remember this, whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Thanks be to God for this.
The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mark. Let's pray together. Lord, we have read and heard these words of the Apostle Paul, written to one church, an ancient church, yet words from Scripture that are living and are applicable to us today, so many generations later. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you through the Scripture, through this message, that may help us in our daily living and help us to be more faithful in our discipleship. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's the middle of November, and we usually think of, in this month, of colder temperatures and a big meal on the fourth Thursday of the month as we offer thanks to God. But in the church, November also means it's time to consider the stewardship of our time, our talent, and our treasure as ways of expressing gratitude to God. The nominating committee has begun its task of filling vacancies and elected positions. And the finance trustee board has sent out an annual financial stewardship letter. Once upon a time, there was a young girl who went to a bank and asked to see the manager. A courteous clerk showed her into his private office. She explained that her girls' club was raising money for a new club room and asked if he could please contribute. The banker laid a dollar bill and a penny on the desk and said, "Take your choice, miss." Well, she picked up the penny and said, "My mother always taught me to take the smallest piece." But picking up the dollar bill, she also said, "But I don't want to lose this penny, so I'll wrap it in this nice piece of paper," and walked out. Pennies and dollars, money, the topic Jesus discussed most frequently, or quite frequently. In fact, of his 38 recorded parables, 16 deal with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, an amazing 10% of the text deals directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on the topic of prayer, less than 500 verses on the topic of faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. In addition to his parables, the Bible records several encounters Jesus had with people where the topic was generosity. And I want to highlight two this morning. The first is the poor widow who went to the temple and placed two small coins, the equivalence of only a few pennies, in the collection plate, while others in the crowd gave large sums of money. And Jesus praised the widow's gift because she gave everything she had, while the others gave only out of their abundance. The second encounter I want to mention this morning is Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. You may recall that Zacchaeus was a dishonest tax collector who, upon entertaining Jesus, repented and promised to give half his possessions to the poor and to refund anyone he had defrauded four times the amount he had cheated. Obviously, Zacchaeus was quite a wealthy man, was doing quite well as a tax collector. From these two encounters, it appears that when Jesus turned people's hearts, they usually responded with acts of generosity. The results were in cash, two small coins from one, and more than half of a sizable fortune from the other. It seems that Jesus was convinced that a change of heart was clearly marked by a change in giving. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said that three conversions are necessary: conversion of the head, the heart, and the purse. Sacrificial giving is also the theme of the 8th and 9th chapters of 2 Corinthians, selected verses of which we read together this morning. In these chapters, we find the Apostle Paul persuading the Corinthians to contribute to an offering being collected for the poor. A deeper purpose of this offering, as Paul saw it, was to strengthen the connections between Jewish and Gentile Christians in the expanding Christian church. Paul begins his appeal by citing a notable example of sacrificial giving by the Macedonians. It appears that the Corinthians had begun to organize a collection the previous year, but due to internal strife and factions within the congregation, the process had stopped. To get the process on track again, Paul uses a not-so-gentle prod of letting the Corinthians know that he has been boasting about their planned generosity. The Corinthians had started first, but the Macedonians, who were quite poor, upon hearing about the Corinthians' plans, had responded with more generosity. How would that make us feel if we were one of the organizers in the Corinthian church and heard that some young startup, poor congregation, had outgiven us? Paul was hoping that this little ploy would persuade the churches to emulate each other, setting up some gentle competition between the two, and therefore the people would give more money. But he did not want their generosity to be done on the spur of the moment, in response to a strong appeal such as he might make if he were to visit them. He did not want money wrung out of them. There was to be no emotional picking of pockets. What they should give must be thoughtfully considered in the light of what he had already said, in view of the need that needed to be met, and their own ability. Their giving must be intelligent, conscientious, and deliberate. This is the kind of generosity that sustains the ministry of a local congregation. Exceptional donations are not, of course, excluded, but the emphasis here is on calculated and systematic giving. There are times when necessity demands the exceptional, but real generosity is habitual and thoughtful, not spasmodic. Paul realized that it is not always lack of desire to give that makes people stingy. It's often lack of thought or imagination. Paul wanted the giving of the Corinthians to be generous. And so he goes on to make a statement of fact, a law of nature. The farmer knows that if he is stingy with the seed, he will be limiting his harvest. And he takes measures accordingly. For Jesus said, "The measure you give will be the measure you get." How much we give is a very personal matter. Looking at it lightheartedly, one pastor who was discouraged about the level of financial contributions by her congregation told her people the story of the dime and the dollar that left the treasury on the same day and met one year later in the cash register of a grocery store. The dollar bill narrated all the experiences it had over the 12 months. It'd been to the movies, to restaurants, to bingo, to designer stores, and to ball games. The dime listened rather enviously and then commented, "Well, I haven't had nearly as exciting a time as you, but I can tell you one thing, I never miss church on Sundays." Ministry, mission, and maintenance are expensive. Energy-filled tasks waiting to be done, lengthy volunteer hours, pretty pennies, shiny dimes, and almighty dollars. Ministry, mission, and maintenance cost a great deal of money, and so do other things in life. Two members of the same congregation were leaving church one Sunday, and as they started walking away from God's house, one complained loudly, and you might be doing this as well this afternoon, "Well, we heard it again this morning. We're supposed to give willingly, give regularly, give generously. Give, give, give. When are all these appeals for money going to stop?" His friend turned to him and said, "Peter, you remember my son Jim, don't you? When Jim came into the world, he cost me quite a tidy sum. I had to pay the doctor bill and the hospital charges, buy a crib for the baby. Moreover, money had to be spent for medicine, food, clothing, and other such items. As Jim began to grow up, expenses increased. When he started school, additional money was required for transportation, books, and certain school activities. In due time, we were told that he should have braces on his teeth. That was a rather expensive undertaking. When he entered high school, it took more money to support him. And then he went away to college. You can well imagine what that cost. Well, as you may remember, just a few weeks before he was to graduate, he became critically ill. We did everything we could for him, but the good Lord was pleased to call Jim home to heaven. Peter, since we buried our boy, he hasn't cost an additional cent. Not 1 cent. Time, talent, treasure. Life is costly. Ministry, mission, and maintenance are costly. Each one of us has been blessed by God with unique gifts that are intended to be utilized and shared. We need to ask ourselves how generous we are with all that God has given to us. The story is told of a farmer who was known for his generous giving. And people noticed that the more he gave, the more he prospered. So one day, someone mentioned this to him and asked him how that was. And the farmer thought for a while and then said, "I keep shoveling into God's bin, and God keeps shoveling back into mine. And God must have a bigger shovel." What has God been shoveling into our lives? What we do with these things can help us shape our own individual lives and the vitality of this congregation. The following illustration may help to explain what I mean. There are two seas in the same country, both within a short distance of each other, both fed by the same stream of water, but they are different from each other as day and night. One is the Sea of Galilee, the other the Dead Sea. The river is the Jordan. The one is alive and fresh. Its water is sweet and pure, a home for fish, a bearer of commerce. Vegetation grows along its shores. It gives as much as it receives and seems happy in the giving. Having taken into itself the waters of the Jordan, it generously sends them on again into the valley of the south toward the other sea. The second body of water lies in a sunken valley, dead and still. There are no fish in its salty waters, No commerce moves on its glassy plain. No vegetation carpets its bleak shores. It swallows up all the water brought to it by the stream that feeds it, but not a drop does it give off or send on. And it remains what it has been for centuries, a lifeless, barren, watery waste. Each of us has been given many wonderful things by God. How we use them helps to describe whether we are like the Sea of Galilee or the Dead Sea. The same stream of bounteous divine blessings feed both seas. And the former becomes a source of joy and good things to others, but the latter ends up being a stagnant and being lifeless. This week you should have received a financial pledge card and envelope in the mail. If not, there are extras on the back table in the sanctuary. We know that money does not grow on trees, and some of you cannot afford to contribute more than you are right now, next year. Others of you don't like to make commitments and just give regularly or when you're able. Whatever situation you are in, it is now time to consider how you plan to invest your time, your talent, and your treasure in the Lord's work in the coming year. We've been collecting pennies this fall for needy children, with each penny representing one child who is living in poverty in this country. It's a symbolic gesture that will have tangible effects when the money we collect is used to help local children. For the ministry, mission, and maintenance of our congregation, pennies need to grow into dollars as we minister in Christ's name from the corner of Main and Salem Streets in downtown Walden to the world. Let's pray together. Lord, you have blessed us with so many gifts. Forgive us, Lord, when we sometimes take them for granted, don't recognize that they are gifts from you, feeling that we've earned them in some way. Lord, in the season of Thanksgiving, we are reminded of the many blessings we have from you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us be wise stewards of what you've given to us, and not just monetary gifts, but the time, the talent, and the treasures that each of us have that we may share through this congregation, that we may share in the ministry of Jesus Christ, that more people may come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that this may be a home where people feel safe to worship, to study, to have social activities, where we are able to reach out into the community by offering programs of food and housing, where we offer programs for youth in our scouting programs. Lord, a way of looking out. Lord, we have a very rich heritage, a long history of this congregation. But Lord, we pray for our future. We pray that each one of us may be part of that future as we contemplate and make decisions of how we can contribute to supporting this congregation, sharing our pennies and our dollars for the life of this congregation in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 531, Because I Have Been Given Much.
Thank you.
As we prepare to leave this time of worship, let us remember the Lord our God, who has given us many good gifts, and go now with the grace of God to share God's many gifts with all the world. Go now with thankful and generous hearts. Amen.